Chapter 6. Sergeant Cuff takes over. The next morning, a telegram arrived from Sergeant Cuff. Sergeant Cuff was the best detective in London, and he was coming to investigate the case. Betteridge went to meet him at the train station. Godfrey Ablewhite went with Betteridge to the station. He needed to return to London for business reasons. To Betteridge, the sergeant did not look like a detective. He was very thin, with yellow skin, and wore a black suit. Betteridge thought that he was certainly not a comforting sight for the Verinder family. When they arrived at the house, Sergeant Cuff asked to speak with Lady Verinder. While he was waiting for her, he walked into the rose garden and spoke to the gardener who was working there. Betteridge noticed that Lady Verinder seemed a little uncomfortable when she came outside to meet the sergeant. She did not know where to begin with the whole story. After they had finished speaking, Sergeant Cuff called for Superintendent Seagrave. They spoke in private for a while, and then the superintendent turned to Betteridge. "The sergeant would like to see Miss Verinder's sitting room," he said. Betteridge took the two officers upstairs to Rachel's sitting room. Immediately, Cuff noticed a smear just under the lock in the decorative painting on the door. He asked Betteridge to tell him what had happened after Rachel discovered that the diamond was missing. Betteridge told the sergeant that the previous morning, the women servants had crowded into Rachel's bedroom after they had heard about the missing diamond. Superintendent Seagrave had told them to leave. "I'm sure that one of their dresses smeared the paint," Seagrave exclaimed. The sergeant turned to him. "Did you notice which dress?" he asked dryly. Seagrave looked a little embarrassed.
"I did not notice," he said.
"Did you notice if the paint was still wet at the time?"
"No, I did not."
As Franklin Blake had been decorating the door with Rachel, he was able to supply some important information. They had finished painting it at 3 p.m., a few hours before the birthday party. Sergeant Cuff estimated that the paint had taken 12 hours to dry, so it must have been dry when the servants had come into Rachel's room the morning after the party.
"Now," Cuff said, "we have to find out whether there is any article of clothing in the house with paint on it. Next, we must find out whose it is. We must ask that person why he or she was in this room between midnight and 3 a.m. after the party. If that person can't satisfy us, we'll know who has the diamond. Mr. Betteridge, would you please come with me into the rose garden?"
Cuff and Betteridge walked outside. As they walked, Cuff asked Betteridge if he had noticed anything strange about any of the servants since the diamond had disappeared. Betteridge did not wish to make the sergeant suspicious of any of his fellow servants, and told him he had noticed nothing. However, he was curious to know if Cuff had formed any opinions about the case.
"I've decided to think about the thoughts and actions of the servants," Cuff said.
Suddenly, Sergeant Cuff saw Rosanna hiding among the roses. "I wonder why she's hiding here," Cuff whispered to Betteridge. Betteridge explained that Rosanna had fallen in love with Franklin Blake and that this was his favourite walk. When they returned to the house, Sergeant Cuff asked Penelope what she knew about the diamond. Penelope told him that on the night of the birthday party, she had seen Rachel put the diamond in the drawer of her cabinet. The next morning, when she took Rachel a cup of tea, she had found the cabinet open and the drawer empty. Betteridge then sent the other servants in, one by one, to speak to Sergeant Cuff. Some came out quickly. Others were there longer. Rosanna, however, was there longer than any of the others. When she finally came out, She did not say a word, and she was very pale.
If Rosanna Spearman asks for permission to go out, let her go, but tell me first,
Cuff instructed Betteridge after the questioning had finished. Betteridge realized that Rosanna was Cuff's suspect. About an hour later, Rosanna asked if she could go out for a walk, and Cuff followed her. At tea time, Betteridge spoke to the other servants. One of them told him that the afternoon before, when Rosanna was apparently ill in bed, she had knocked on Rosanna's door. There was no answer, and the door was locked. Later that night, she had knocked again. The keyhole was blocked, but there was a light visible under the door. She had also heard the sound of a fire, although it was the month of June. When Cuff saw Betteridge later in the afternoon, he asked,
"Is there any path that leads to the beach from the house?"
Betteridge pointed to the forest and the path that led to the shivering sand.
"Let me show you the way," he said.
As they walked through the forest, Cuff told Betteridge what he thought.
"Rosanna Spearman is simply an instrument in the hands of another person," he said. "She'll be protected by that person."
"Who?" Betteridge asked uneasily. Cuff did not answer him, but began to explain what had happened that day.
"This afternoon, I followed Rosanna to a fishing village. She visited a cottage, stayed there for a while, and then came out with something hidden under her cloak. Let's go together to the cottage Rosanna visited. Maybe we can find out what she wanted to hide."
Betteridge's detective instinct suddenly disappeared. He was not happy about spying on another servant.
"What possible help will I be?" he asked. "You are too modest," said Cuff. "Besides, if I go there with a respected neighbour, everyone will be more comfortable."
He started to walk, and after a moment, Betteridge followed him. Rosanna had gone to the cottage of a fisherman called Yolland. She was friendly with the family, in particular with their daughter, Lucy, who had a deformed foot and was known in the area as Limping Lucy. Mrs. Yolland told them that Rosanna had gone upstairs and spent a long time writing a letter. When she came downstairs, Mrs. Yolland had offered her a stamp, but she had said no. Instead, she had bought an old metal box and two long chains from Mr. Yolland. Cuff was puzzled. Rosanna had obviously hidden something in the box and put it into the quicksand. But he did not believe that it was the missing diamond. He told Betteridge that his years of experience as a detective made him sure that Rosanna had not taken the moonstone.
"But if it is not the moonstone," asked Betteridge, "what else is it? And why was it so important to keep it safe?"
Cuff told Betteridge that he would have to go to Fritzing Hall to find out exactly what Rosanna had bought there the previous day. When the two men returned to the house, Superintendent Seagrave told them that Rosanna had come back an hour before. Then they were called in to see Lady Verinder, who had been waiting for them for almost an hour.
"Is it important to your investigation, Sergeant Cuff, to know whether anyone in the house is going to leave?" asked Lady Verinder.
"Very important," Cuff replied.
"Well then, Miss Verinder is leaving first thing tomorrow morning to visit her aunt, Mrs. Ablewhite, in London."
Cuff looked at Betteridge. The old servant felt his heart beat faster. When the two men were out in the hall, Betteridge said,
"There's something wrong with Miss Rachel, and you've been hiding it from me all the time."
"Ah,"
replied Cuff.
"You've guessed at last.
Do you mean to tell me that Miss Rachel has stolen her own diamond?"
"Yes,"
Cuff replied.
And she told Rosanna Spearman because she knew we would suspect the servant instead of her.
Cuff gave no reasons for his opinion. Betteridge, anxious and miserable, did not eat dinner that night. He went outside alone to think about what the sergeant had said.